actually working out, but please don't be asleep. Don't just let it happen and notice it. Be part of it. Enter in. Enter in. Don't just go to heaven someday. Let's bring heaven to earth today.
Yes.
Through us. Amen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven through me. Not just you do it. Now watch. No, no, no. Do it in me, through me, by me, with me. So God is doing a great work in Africa today. And Africa has a vision or a destiny. And Pastor Jacques, I want you to just to tell us about your journey from Africa and how you are ministering in Toronto, Canada right now. And just tell us a little bit. Share.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Yep.
God bless you. As Pastor Jim said, do I need it? Yes, maybe.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's a joy for me to be here first. I praise the Lord. It's a privilege to share this moment with you. I just arrived from Martinique and Guadeloupe, where I spent 2 weeks in preaching, 1 week in Martinique and another week in Guadeloupe. They are French islands. And I saw it's like a beginning of the revival there. And people are very open to the gospel of Jesus. Every night I was preaching and people are coming to accept Jesus for the very first time of their life. And I'm very happy about it now to see what the Lord is doing, the Holy Spirit is doing. And that area of the world was deep in witchcraft. And I saw many deliverance when I was preaching. And when you speak the name of Jesus, the demons start to manifest, and we cast them out in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And I saw adults, old people coming to Jesus like kids. That was amazing, and I praise God for that. So originally, I'm from Africa, from Congo, the ex-Zaire. And as you know, during Mobutu's time, most of us, we left the country to go to Europe, to everywhere. So me and my family, we came to Canada. I have three brothers with me in Canada. We are four. And by the grace of God, I became a minister, a pastor. I have a passion with Jesus. I love him. I gave him all my life, and I'm committed to Jesus. I'm married to Jesus. He's my King and my Lord, and nothing in this world can change that, nothing. No king, no president, no money, no wife can change my relation with Jesus Christ. I'm totally to him. I belong to him first. Amen. And we have a church in Toronto. Pastor Jim has the opportunity to visit us 4 years ago, five, I don't know, I don't remember, maybe 4 years. And the church is growing. Most of the members of our church are from Africa, of course, from Congo, from Angola, from Congo-Brazzaville, from Ivory Coast, from Cameroon, from Chad, from Rwanda, from Burundi. So all this area of the world, they are coming, and the church is growing now. And we have some difficulties everywhere, but the church is still growing and growing and growing, and we praise God for that. So I'm part of your family. I'm here to praise the Lord with you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jim.
Hallelujah. God is good. Yeah, I believe Pastor Jacques has a role to play in the kingdom of God. Not just another person, but always you must know your particular place in the kingdom and what he's doing. Because you're accustomed to, I was telling him in the car, you know, Africans are thinking small because they're used to it. And Americans are the same. We're used to ordinary, whatever ordinary is, we're used to it. You know, just so I don't get in big trouble. No, you must get in big trouble. You must dream big dreams. I don't mean finances. I don't mean in the world. I mean big dreams in the heaven. What is your role here on earth? You are not just an ordinary person. When you are filled with God, the Spirit of the living God, you become something great. Do you all understand? Do not regard your size or your face or your bank account or do not regard these things. They're nothing. Regard only what God is doing. So it's important to get his vision. This is what I share with you continually. Out of the Word, we have many details, but overall, there's a big picture, a big vision of what God is doing in these last days. And so our destiny is tied with Africa. Africa is right now, as Europe becomes Muslim, you know, that the Christian cradle, as the Westerners understand it. Of course, it started in Jerusalem, but it went west first. Now it's going south. So those in the north are becoming, they were atheists, now they're becoming Muslim. The Muslims are eating up all the atheists, okay? Because atheism has no future. Exactly. Has no future. Well, if you can look at any country, including America, everything in the north is dying. Everything in the south is thriving. Anywhere you go in the world. So you watch as Africa's divided in two at the equator. Everything below the equator, Christian. Everything above the equator, Muslim. Now, who will win? The brown north or the green south? And so there's a battle going on. That's why I visit that very part of the world when I go there. I like to look right at the cracks between those two to see, is the Muslim winning or the Christian? I can tell you, the Christians are flourishing. And they will not only not stop at the equator. They will keep going until all the Muslims are removed. Where will they go? Europe. Europe is becoming Muslim because Africa is becoming Christian. Did you hear what I just said? Yes. Don't think of the newspaper. I'm telling you something more important than the newspaper. Africa will return. And you know what that will do for Africa? They will then have all the mineral wealth and all of the oil wealth. There's great oil wealth in northern Africa. Northern Africa at one time was the greatest Christian outreach, all of North Africa. The greatest, the biggest communities of Christian, the strongest, were all in North Africa. So the devil in the 6th century, in the 7th century, the devil raised up Muhammad. And he spread out, hoping to take Europe. He never succeeded. But he was able to take North Africa. But he never fully succeeded. Ethiopia always held out. And until recently, Darfur, that whole business, that all has to do with crushing, finally, Christianity. But not only will the Muslims not succeed, but the Christians will succeed. Amen. They have the fire. They have the passion. So whether it's Uganda, Nigeria, Burundi, it doesn't make any difference. Sooner or later, the Christians will take all the territory back that God originally gave to them. But now, not the same Christianity that originally came there, but a more vigorous Christianity, one that's alive. We are the stepchildren of Europe. We are Europe's bad, naughty children. Raise your hand if you know who you are. You are the nothings. You are not sophisticated. You know nothing. You're just Yahoo silly people. But God loves us, and we love God. And because of that, we will not only survive, we will prevail. And we already are. So God is using the south, and the north will yield and give way. The atheism, the agnosticism, the mammonism, the materialism of the north is nothing. All things are being given into our hands. So is Africa, so is America, so Israel is dependent upon what happens in Africa and what happens in America. I have been busy for 30 years working on that triangle to link away from Europe. You see, when Americans go to Africa, they always go through Europe. And so I've been working for many decades to link together Africa with America. It's impossible. I like impossible things. And Israel. Israel, Africa, America. It's very interesting. Who will win? I will. I know this agenda is from God. So as we favor Israel, and Israel has no more friends in Europe, Africa will prosper as the Muslims are cast out. See, they always wanted Europe. Now they'll have her. And the Europeans will pay dearly. But they had nothing. They turned away from Jesus. So they're being spanked. They're being abused now. And though they will hate it, they will do it because of bribery. They want the oil. They want the trillions of dollars of contracts. This is the stupidity of man to put mammon first. Throw away the eternal for a bowl of soup. There's a Bible about that. Why would someone throw away his eternal life for a bowl of soup? But now Europe has turned away like Esau, and Jacob, his brother, will prevail. So Africa is being given over, and I told my brother Jacques here, you must become the president of Zaire of the Congo. You must not just sit in the background, whether you're the president literally or not. You must become involved. And they're having elections this month. And I actually was approached and was part of helping to select the next president. But I rejected the man that came to me. Now he's out. And there's another man coming who I also would reject, but nevertheless, he will be a friend. So those that will take over will actually be friends that I have known. I've been to their home. I've been in their plantations. I've seen. So God will make a way where there is no way, even using the enemy. Even using the enemy. So I'm just telling you all this. I don't know why. It's because you're the church I'm talking to. But I want you to get a bigger vision than your little watch television every week vision. You know, eat, what are those, something creams, Krispy Kremes. You know, forget all this. You need to think bigger. The kingdom of God is advancing in the world. Everywhere but Europe and America, everywhere the kingdom of God is advancing. So watch, and you will see as the South rises again, not the South you're thinking of, but a different South. This is the day. This is the hour. Everywhere you look today, you see the kingdom of God going forward. As he said, he went down to Martinique, Guadeloupe. Okay, they don't have any resistance. I don't care the witchcraft, the Muslim, the paganism, it doesn't matter. There's no resistance. The gospel will go forward. If you don't pray, you won't be part of what God is doing. You must pray. God, show me my role. At least it's to pray. Then perhaps it's to go. So you might want to think of going. Chad and I will go to Moldova in the spring, then Israel in the fall. And then the next year, we'll probably go back to Africa again. Maybe Sud-Afrique, South Africa. Because great things are happening everywhere. And you want to know, you want to be on the spot. You don't want to read the papers. They won't tell you what the truth is. But if you go among the people, that's when you find out what's really going on. You can tell from the people, not the media, not the PR, what's really happening. All right, let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. The best, by the way, has been saved to the last. So we live in a great day. We live in a great day. We live in a great day. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. You want to erase the backside of the board? Thank you. By which Christ has made us free. So are you free? Yes. Why are you free? How did you get free? Most of the world, at the time of the founding of America, the free peoples of the world were 1/30th. Actually, a little less than that, but I'll say 1/30th so you can remember it, of the world. In other words, most of the world, the vast majority of the world, only a small sliver, was slave. Only a small sliver was free. But what kind of freedom are we speaking of? Not political or economic freedom, but spiritual freedom. Now, when Christianity first started out in the first century, one out of 360 people on the earth were Christian. Today, one out of three. At the time of the Reformation, one out of 50. Meaning, the Christian truth is actually winning. Imagine one out of 360 in the beginning, but today one out of three. In other words, every third person you meet is a Christian. Now, they may be quite superficial, it doesn't matter. The point is that that gospel message is not dying. It's actually increasing, and it never stops. Though in America, you may see people falling asleep like in Europe. You won't see it. You won't see it in the rest of the world. Everywhere we're winning. The kingdom of God is going forward. And I don't train myself for America. I'm not trained just for this and that. I'm trained because of the kingdom of God. And I'm just keeping alive. It says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath set you free. I went to the most prestigious schools in America. I went to the top of the top of the top. And I can tell you there they have no faith. There's no faith. None. And I was a pagan of pagans. I was a complete pagan. So I went to the right school. I went to the right school to be at the top. But what happened to me is God met me and ruined my life. Totally ruined my life. I had a good pagan life going. I would have been a very good pagan. And God said, you know, I would like a man like that. He's full of ambition, but he's as blind as a bat and knows nothing. Is foolish. I will take such a foolish person and break him. This is good, huh? This is what it takes. He only uses foolish people. He only uses foolish people. You can see now how valuable you are. He's looking for foolish people that are blind and ignorant and impotent. And then he remakes them. He has to first destroy your confidence till you have none. Think, Lord, I have a little bit of confidence, but I'm losing most of it. Good. He finishes it off till you have no confidence. Doesn't want any confidence in your flesh. When you think you are something, you will fall. When you know you are nothing, you will rise. So he exalts the humble, but he puts down the proud. So God is doing his greatest work today among us yahoos, among us silly ones, among us small people. Now, don't think small, think big. For the kingdom, not big for yourself. You are small within the kingdom. Before God, you are nothing. You are a drop in the bucket. But before this world, you are big because of the Lord inside of you. It wasn't David that beat Goliath. It was David's God that beat Goliath's God. David was a small man. Goliath was a big man, the biggest man. But a small man with a big God is bigger than a big man with a small God, who is no God at all. How big is your God? How big is your God? How big is your God? He can do anything. And not only can he do it, he will do it. And not only will he do it, he will do it in you, through you, by you. Raise your hand if you know what I'm saying. This is something for you. It's not for me. This is something for you. I'm not doing this for me. I wouldn't do this. For me, I would never do this. I would do something else. It's too easy to win. I know how to win. This is not what I would do to win. But I don't want to win. I don't want to win. I've already won. So we can waste our time in the kingdom. In other words, throw everything away. Just do what God says. Start with your marriage. Start with your mouth. Start with something small that you can conquer. How many have already conquered your mouth? Okay, well, let's start with something else. It says that a man that cannot control his own tongue, he cannot rule anything. If you could rule your tongue, your mouth, you could rule the world. So it's the problem in our mouth. Our mouths are full of griping, complaining, foolishness, silly talk, frivolous talk, vain talk. No, fill your mouth with good things. Fill your mouth with the Word of God. Your mouth was created to declare the kingdom of God, the glory of God. Not to tell what you think, not to tell what you feel, not to express your inner feelings and psychological states. We don't care what you think. We don't care what you feel. We don't care what you want. This is the time for the kingdom to come. So sober up. because it's going to come with such a power. It's going to come with such a power. You have no concept. I was just telling him over 1 million people every week or every 10 days are coming to Jesus throughout the world. Well, when you have another 1 million people added to a kingdom, it's getting big. Imagine this has been going on now for 15 years or more. Every day, hundreds of thousands of people coming to Jesus. You may not count it up because you don't see it. It's not in the paper. There's nowhere that it's registered. How many people are turning to Jesus in China, in India, in Africa, South America, everywhere, everywhere you go? Russia. Russia may well become a great power. But I will tell you this, that in the next few years, if the Lord tarries, and I think he will tarry a bit, Africa will become the most Christian continent on the face of the earth. It will make us dwarfed. And therefore, there must come leaders. And I'm praying that Jacques will become one of those leaders. He may live in exile, but he must keep his heart in the soil of Africa. He must be a true son of the soil and not worry about displanting, you know, being displaced somewhere. So it isn't over yet. They're just experiments that were, you know, what's happening in Africa is due to the 60s, the kind of silly stuff of the 60s. And now you're seeing more things done. But God has a new plan. It's his old plan. How many know that God never changes his plan? So he still has his plan. And everything is happening for our benefit. Everything is happening for our benefit. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. It doesn't say achieve liberty. It just says stay in it. That means we already have it. If you're in Christ, you must stay in the liberty. So here you are. Here you are. This is you. Here's the cross. Stay in that liberty. So here we have liberty. We have liberty in Christ. So stand fast. Don't move from this. Well, where did you come from? Where did you come from? When were you in bondage? You see, stay in the liberty that Christ has given you. But originally, there was bondage. Originally, there was bondage. Okay? So here is where we came from, under the law. The law, all men are under the law. It doesn't matter if they want to be or not. They're not under Sharia law or United States law or whatever. You're under the law of nature, which is bigger than man-made law. All man-made law is subject to God's natural law. But by the law, we are all guilty. So we're all in bondage under this law. So you have slavery, and that's where the world is today, because they're still under the law. Bondage under the law. So this is what Paul is talking about, is don't go back to legalism. Don't go back to you being a good guy. How many here are nice people? I mean, you know, relatively speaking, when you look around, you're nicer than other people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How many are nastier than other people? Oh, it's the same people. No. Okay. Now, I know that a lot of you didn't say, but you do think you're a good person. This is a problem. You cannot be here and also here. You must repent of all your goodness. It isn't your evil that God is worried about. It isn't evil that troubles God. It isn't evil that God is worried about. It's the goodness that you think you have. This is your problem. The only goodness that you have is what's given to you as a gift. It's not achieved by you. So stand fast in the freedom. I'm telling you, it's so easy to return, to go back. You know, once you get this freedom, it's so easy to go back. Repent, and then people go right on back. Why? Why does God want us to stand fast in freedom? I'm going to tell you why. Because the duties that he's given you here, to worship God and love your neighbor, those are the whole law is summed up in two words. Love God, love neighbor. That's it. This whole duty is something you can't do. It's on everybody, but you can't do it without Christ. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Have you learned this lesson? It's the first lesson in life. It's the first and greatest lesson in life. I am nothing, I know nothing, I can do nothing. If you could learn that, if you could learn that you're ignorant and impotent, you would be blessed. How many are still smart and powerful? You know, you want to be in control. How many would like to be in control of your family? Maybe you couldn't control much else, but at least I'll control my family. Oh, if you only knew you were ignorant. You don't know anything, and you have no power. You are weak. But this is why we become Christians spiritually, and then we just go back and live like pagans. You just get right back under the law. You really think you're smart? You really think you know what you're doing? You think you can do it without God? Apart from me, you can do nothing. In me, you can do all things. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So God is not after performance. He's after relationship. I want you to say these words. I will not perform. I will come into relationship. I will not perform because I'm ignorant and I'm impotent. I will take the gifts from God. And I will stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set me free. Now, you see, it's so easy, though, to say the words and to believe it in your heart, and I know you all do, but then to fall back into bondage, to become a slave again. I was telling, you know, Jacques, you know, in Africa, people think small. They hear the message. They don't deny the message, but they still are thinking small. Well, I hope I can just be part of that. Or they think big in human terms, which is also to be ridiculous. You know, I'll be like some American evangelist, or I'll be like some pastor in England or something. No, throw away all that. You want to be like Jesus, not like some American. I don't like it when I go to different parts of the world that they always emulate Americans or Europeans. Throw those people off. All you need is Jesus. The hope of China is to get rid of all the missionaries and all the people that came over there, you know, tried to then take over and keep the people in bondage, keep them dependent. It's the old apartheid idea, you know. We have come as the masters, and we will keep you always slaves, so it makes us feel important because we're smart and we're capable, and Africans are stupid and lazy. It's a great idea. It's a tremendous idea. I think it was thought up by a white man. I think it's a very good idea. It's yeah. So we foolishly believe things that are not true. Until we see ourselves as brothers and sisters, equal before God, and that we are weak and impotent without Him, we are ignorant and stupid and foolish, we will not stand fast in the freedom wherewith Christ has set us free. Why freedom? Do you remember what I told you that God said? Why do you want to be free? Why must you be free? Because you have two duties: love to God, love to the neighbor. Love to God, love to the neighbor. You cannot have a man force you to worship God like Allah under Sharia law. You cannot be forced in your religion. That's true in Saudi Arabia. That's true in most of the Muslim countries, Iran, Iraq. It's true that they force people to be under a certain kind of law. No, this country was founded with the idea that religion will never be forced, because man is free. It was first country in the world to demand and insist upon freedom after the pattern of Israel in the ancient world. But even Israel wasn't ready for freedom. She fell back into the Baals. She fell back into immorality. She fell back into injustice too quickly because she didn't have Yeshua, Jesus, as her Messiah. So the only reason you're free today is not because America's powerful and strong and has satellites up in the sky and all kinds of airplanes and bombs. The only reason you're free is because Jesus Christ has set you free. Amen. Now stand in that freedom and don't let it go. Don't be foolish and imagine, I'm powerful, I can do this, I can do that, I have this. You have nothing. Everything you have is a gift of God. Amen. So the only reason you were given this gift is you can't bear fruit from this number one. You cannot bear fruit from number one. You cannot bear fruit from number one. You must go to number two in order to bear fruit. So all the fruit today in the churches, much of it is number one. It's just legalistic. You come to church not because the Holy Spirit led you here, but because it's a habit, or because, you know, you might get something. or whatever reason. A lot of it just legalistic. You didn't really hear God. You came in your own strength, came in your own power. Now, what God wants is to lead everybody by the Spirit. This is the group he's looking for, but people won't stand fast. They go back to here because they don't see the power. Oh, I became a Christian. Where's the power? What? Oh, there's a little secret I forgot to tell you. You have to die, by the way. You have to die, by the way. I forgot to tell you that. The reason you don't have any power is because you're too strong. You're still God. You're still powerful. You believe in your heart, but your lips are far from God. Your lips are far from God. Yes, I know you believe in your heart. Okay, I know you believe in your heart. But there's no power because you're not dead yet. You still have too much sin in your life. You still want for yourself. You're still selfish. You're still thinking of yourself all the time. You care that other people don't like you. I want you to say these words. I don't care if people don't like me. Because they're right. People are dumb. They know. They know you're not worth anything. You have no value. So somebody's ignoring me, of course, because you're valueless. You have no value. You're a fool. Why should people like you? Well, I'm somebody. You're pathetic. Hello. Are you still seeking for approval of men? You don't need it. God loves you. Why do you care if people love you? Why do you care if people like you? People know you too well, especially those close to you. They can see right through you. They see all your flaws. So don't try to impress people with your clothing, your outward demeanor. They see right through you. You're a phony. You're a fake. You're a nothing. The only thing you have going for you is Jesus. Jesus loves you. This you know. So why do you want freedom? So you can worship God with all your heart and soul and strength. Do you know that right now there's no law against us worshiping God? Isn't that amazing? You can actually worship God freely. And yet, in this free land, people don't want to do it. You're free to. And in other places, they force you to worship some idol. But here, you don't have to worship the idol. So we don't worship anything except ourselves. It's amazing to me. Isn't that amazing to you? Isn't that amazing? You're free to read the Bible, and so we neglect it. Because I'm free to eat food or read the Bible, I'll eat food. How many know that food is a big God? And body. Oh, body, body, body. Look good, body. Get big and fat, body. Now, those are contradictory. How can you love your body and then feed it full of food and then want to be thin? I mean, it's funny because we are crazy people. We are crazy people. You can't do it. Everything you're doing is not going to work. So you ought to catch on after a while. Now, for freedom, Christ hath set you free. So he wants you to be free. Only thing that will ever give you freedom is not the United States Constitution. It's not some gift of man. No. It's God. He wants you to be free. You have to be free. He insists upon it. He does not want to force you. God will not force you. In Israel, everybody that was in Israel was forced. If they didn't do what God told them to do, that was it. They were punished. And so they never did do it. Did you ever see that, how Israel failed? That's why she was booted out of her land. Now she's snuck back in, kind of forced her way back in. And so Israel's back in the land again. But is she holy? Not at all. Remember, God said, this is my holy land. And they're polluting the land. They haven't gotten along with their neighbors. They're not good neighbors. And so can God give them back their land when they just took it? Israel today is not a holy nation. But I'll tell you what the problem is. It's not Israel, it's us, the church. If we were a holy church, she would be a holy nation. But our holiness is a little bit ragged on the edges. The people can't quite, they can hear our talk, but they don't see our walk. Why? I told you before, why? Can anyone remember why? Why is it? Why do we not bear the fruit of the kingdom of God? Why are we not bearing fruit? Number three, why do we not bear the fruit of the kingdom? Why do we not have love? Because we're too strong, because we're still alive. It's not just too strong, it means you're alive at all. No, you must die. That's why you come to church. You come to church to die. Oh, Pastor, no. We come to church to hear good news. That is good news. From the kingdom point of view, when you're dead, he's alive. I can do all things through him. The emphasis is on the him. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The whole key is not to use Jesus to get the rest. The whole key is to get into Jesus. And then you get the rest for free. So, you cannot worship God with all your heart. You cannot love your neighbor as yourself without Jesus. Not only forgiving you, but then giving you the Holy Spirit. So number three is the work of the Spirit, so that all your deeds are wrought in God. All your deeds are not man-made. They're Holy Spirit-led. Holy Spirit leading us. So if you're born of the Spirit, two, then you'll be able to walk in the Spirit, three. So this is your walk. This is what people see on the outside. That's what they're looking for, is does your fruit come from one, then it'll be legalism. Or two, then it'll be freely done. It won't be license. You see, people feel if they're not legalistic, they'll become licentious. If I don't force myself to do something, I'll just probably sin. How many believe that? If I don't make myself do it, I mean, I don't think I'm led by the Spirit, but I'll just make myself do it. Well, if I don't, I'll just sin. If I make myself read the Bible, I won't go and eat that extra cookie. You know, I'll watch TV. I'll just sit on the potato couch. Right? See, but if Jesus doesn't lead me, Jesus, lead me not to eat that potato. Not to, you know, watch that television show or whatever. Jesus, lead me, lead me. No, he's not doing it. Well, that is not the way Jesus works. You can't force it. I just got done saying that. You're not in bondage. No one's going to make you grow up. No one makes you go to church. No one makes you read the Bible. No one makes you love your neighbor. God doesn't even make you. God won't even make you. God won't make you. When he comes back, every knee will bow. But it's not because he makes them. It's because he is God. And they'll see it. And they'll know it. And they'll be convicted and shattered. But it's too late then. At that point, it's too late. Right now, he's looking for children who will build on this. So, Jesus has set you free from all your sin. You didn't even know that was your big problem. How many know that you didn't even know that spiritual sin was your big problem? You thought it was overeating or talking about people or whatever. No, no, no. Your biggest problem is that you don't believe in Jesus. You don't spend all your time with Jesus. You think that life is about life instead of about God. You don't even know. You don't even know. You don't even know. You don't even know what life is about. You think it's all about growing up and, you know, getting a nice house and going to school and getting rich someday and powerful and being liked by your neighbors, not throwing garbage over the fence. No, that's not what life is about. Life is all about falling in love with Jesus as a sinner. As a sinner, you have to be a sinner to qualify. You can't go from one without being a sinner to two. You can't go as a good person. You can't think you're good like the Muslims do. They think, you know, hey, we're good. We don't let people steal. We cut their hands off. Very good. That's very good. That is a very good idea. You know, it is better if you go to Saudi Arabia. Probably no one will take your wallet if it lays on the table there. They probably won't, because they don't have any hands to pick it up with their mouths. It's hard, because they punish people like that. But that's not what God wants. He wants voluntarily for you to serve him. Not legalistically. Not saying it with your mouth. Not from your heart. So you need a new heart. God made you, gave you your original heart. He's the only one that can remake you and give you a new heart. He's your maker. No one can take away what God made. So under this law, everyone is guilty. There is no good. No good. Nobody's good here. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we're all bad people here. Only bad people can go to number two. So only bad people can repent. How many bad people do we have here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, it's very good. We have a church full of bad people. You must understand, you're not just a little bit bad or comparably speaking. You're absolutely bad, evil, nasty, no good, shallow, hypocritical, liar, thief, robber. Totally selfish, totally for yourself. You all know that? It would help your neighbor if you knew that. If you knew how bad you were, how lousy you are. You have to know that. Pastor, that's depressing. It's the truth. It's not depressing. It's the most freeing thing you could ever think. You know what? I'm totally for myself. I can try all I want to not be. I still am. I can behave myself, but I'm just behaving. It's play acting. It's just like having a script as you get on. Pretend like you're good. Hello, I'm good. You know, I go to church. I read my Bible. Yeah, but this is just legalism. This is not led by the Holy Spirit. You know how it's led by the Holy Spirit? Because you're dead. When it's led by the Holy Spirit, you're dead. You don't feel any pride or any whatever. How many, when something good happens in your life, feel a little bit of pride? You know, just a little bitty bit. You know, but you're lying. You have a lot of pride. You know, God, thank you for using me. I see your wisdom right there. You know, other men are blinded and foolish. They don't see it as I do, but thank God. But I've always been a good Christian. I read my Bible, and now it's paying off. Oh, Lord. You're a mess. Now, God wants to destroy all the flesh till there's nothing left. Imagine starting a kingdom with no flesh. No flesh at all. So you actually can come in with all your flesh, but you're coming in to get all your flesh killed. As soon as you get in, even though he's forgiven you before you've changed, he disregards all the guilty feeling stuff. Well, I sinned, but I felt guilty. That's just play acting. That's play acting stuff. Well, I really felt really bad. Yeah, sure you did. How come you're still doing it? Well, I feel bad about that too. You're a play actress. How many know we are great, magnificent actors and actresses? We all ought to be in the movies. We all ought to be, really, we should, because we are great. We are great show-offs. We're all hams. We really are. That's how we can judge it in others. Huh, she's proud. That was humble of you to notice. That was very, very humble of you to notice. How many are critical of others? You know why? Because you're critical of yourself. The only reason you're critical of others is to draw attention away from the fact that you're critical of yourself. I'm going to say that again. The only reason you're critical of others, look down on, despise, and judge, and criticize, oh, look at her. The only reason you do that is because that's the way you think of yourself. You wouldn't do that if you didn't. The only reason you ever are hard on other people is because you're hard on yourself. Because you're under the law. You're under pressure. You don't have any Holy Spirit that's operating in your life because you're trying to get credit. You're trying to, still prove something to your family. How many are trying to witness to your family? Oh, Lord, let me be a better Christian so my family can see it. That's not a good motive. Well, I really wanted to help your kingdom out. Oh, thanks. As though God needed your help. No. This is not something where he needs your help. He's just letting you come along and watch him do it. But you want to get a little credit. Just barge in, get a little credit, He's not going to let you do that. How many know that the foolish things is what God has chosen in the earth? He chooses the foolish things to embarrass the wise. So he's going to use us here in Texas. This is the biggest Yahoo state in the world. I'm sure there's no place in the world as shallow as we are. We're just goofy people. That's why you have me as your pastor. I am a gift of heaven. Because you deserve me, you see. This is what you deserve. It's funny. And I'm quite happy with it because I feel at home. I feel very much at home, This is my kind of people. I grew up in Chicago, but those are not my kind of people. This is my kind of people right here. Fake, phony, shallow, human. Talk Jesus, but live themselves. I like that. I'm right at home in that kind of people. Do you all understand? Well, we fit together, you see. And God, is all he wants to do is kill Jim and then kill you. That's all. That's all he wants to do. That's all he wants to do. He wants to kill you. How many are ready to die so that you don't have a self? You know why you take care of yourself? Because you don't have a God. Do you know why you care about yourself? Because you don't have a God. If you have a God, you don't need to take care of yourself because he takes care of you. What is a God but someone who takes care of you? And if you say you have a God, but actually you take care of yourself, then you don't have a God. You're just talking. Isn't that funny? Do you want to keep your reputation? Do you want to look smart? Do you want to look clever? Do you want to look, nice to people, then you're your own God. You can say God all day long, but you don't mean it. And God sees right through that. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. I just don't know. But you're not, that's not Christianity. You just have to confess it. Lord, I'm still into myself. On a daily basis, you need to say that. Do you say that every day, Crystal? Yeah, many times a day. That's good. You should put it on your little visor and pull that down. You are a fake, you know. You are totally into yourself. You see, because you need to remind yourself that it's a gift. It's a gift. The only reason you're alive today is because God is good. Not because you ate well. Or because you exercised. Or because, you know, you had good genes or whatever people think. You know, the reason you're alive is because God's not finished with his kingdom yet. And he needs some customers. He'll use anybody. Anybody. You just look around. You know, I'm looking for somebody. And he'll just take riffraff. How many are riffraff? You know, you just take riffraff. Just like, do I have any riffraff? You know, he's just looking for something. Because the strong and the mighty and the smart and the great he can't use. Because they're full of themselves. So he wants you to stand fast in the liberty. What liberty? The liberty, listen carefully, to love. The only reason you have liberty is not to do license. The only reason you have liberty is to love. It's to die to yourself so you can live for others. It's the only reason you are made alive. To be part of his kingdom, his purpose, his intention, his plan. This is the kingdom of God. So you don't live for yourself. Stop complaining about your wife, your husband, your children, your church, your world. George Bush, who cares? Stop complaining. Get in and do it yourself. Do it yourself. Stop complaining about other people. How many know it's easier to complain about somebody else than to do it yourself? Go do it yourself. Then you'll find out how weak you are and how foolish you are. And you have no power. Woohoo! Amen? Now see, you don't learn too much if you keep moving all the time. So a lot of you are movers. You just keep moving all the time, you know, so you don't learn anything. You know, it's like, just keep adjusting. Try to find the place where you fit. Where will I shine? Where can I go? You know, what big church can I join? You know, whatever. Just stay still. Stay still until you're dead. Dying, you can almost do anywhere. You can die anywhere. Isn't that funny? That's funny. The other thing God's after is your death. He's come to give you life. All you have is dung, and you're calling it gold. He wants to give you the gold, but you're hanging on to the dung. I'm not taking my dung. I've painted it. You've painted dung. You know, ooh, that's pretty. Woo! God thinks all your righteousness is a filthy rag. You think it stinks when you're good. So his law, the only purpose of his law is to kill off everything about you. Is to make it clear that you have nothing. You are nothing. You can do nothing. That's all. If you learn that, blessed are you. How many have learned that? I don't mean intellectually, but I mean you're learning it in your experience. That I am nothing. I can't do anything. I can't be a good husband. I can't be a good wife. I can't be a good worker. I can't be honest. I can't be anything. I can't even lose weight. I can't do anything. I can't stop myself from doing bad things, thinking bad things, feeling bad things. I'm going to try not to be afraid, but it scares me. It doesn't matter what it is you're trying to do. You can't do it. Jesus designed it that way. He's God because he's God. You're not God because you're not God. And even when he creates you, he didn't create you to be God because he can't create you to be God because he's God. So you have to be under God. But he wants you to do it voluntarily. He's not forcing you. And see, the devil thinks he'll never get anywhere without force. That's why all the religions of the world are full of force, manipulation, things that pastors are trying to make their people do. Most pastors make their people feel guilty and keep them in fear. You see? And then you get something out of them. Well, I think those pastors are correct because I don't use those techniques and we don't go anywhere either. So I think they're at least smart. They have thousands. But you know what? I don't care. I'd rather accomplish nothing. I'd rather accomplish nothing. Because the whole weight is on me. It's not on what I look like out here. You understand? It's only what I do before God that counts. I'm not going to answer for you. I may in my office, but in my person, I have to answer for myself. And I love my messages. I love them. I'm standing up here speaking, but actually I'm sitting here listening. Yahoo! Glory! That's good, Pastor Jim. You know, I love it. It's this kind of religion to me, I was a pagan. I was taught all the pagan stuff. And I wasn't a good pagan, I was a bad pagan. But, you know, I know this is the truth. When I heard this first, I hated it. I fought against it, but I knew it was the truth. I knew that was the truth. And it broke me. And I knew that God was inviting me not to live, but to die. You see, life comes after death. Life comes after death. You can't have the life now and then die later. The death takes place right away. Come unto me. What he was saying was, come unto death. I will give you life, he said. That means we didn't have it. I came that you might have life. You didn't have it. So the law is just simply telling me what I don't have apart from him. But the gospel, number two, is telling me who I am because of him, what he's offering to me. And if I know I'm dead, I want to stay alive. Everybody at least has that in them, is I want to live. You have enough in you that wants to live. You just don't know how to live. You don't even know what life is. You remember the tree of life? God left it in the garden. You remember he kicked them out so they wouldn't eat of the tree of life? Because everybody's looking for life. But they went around into the world and thought they were alive looking for life. How many young people in our church today are looking for life in life? There ain't none. Hey, if I could just get a boyfriend. A lot of girls, you know, 12, 13, you know, hey, I got a boyfriend. I got one too. And so that's a big deal for them. Now they're important. Now they're something. And they'll sell their souls. They'll give up their all of their values and everything else just to get that value. And it's worthless. And after getting hurt once, twice, thrice, they don't know what life is about then. Because they didn't find life in life. Join a gang. It's another way to find life. Hey, you know, the world stinks out there, but I'll join a gang. We all brothers. We all cut our wrists. We all, you know, do certain bad things together and so on. Hey, we're brothers. We're a band of brothers. You know, that's a big mover of people. All right, we'll live in Highland Park. That's another great thing. We don't live in Highland Park. We live in the Park Cities. People have all kinds of things to make themselves somebody, something. If Christ shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Free to do what? Free to have all that stuff? Look, you can have all that stuff. God doesn't care. That's okay. Have all that stuff. Just don't take it seriously. Because as easily as it came, as easily it goeth. Ross Perot failed 70-some times before he ever made it. Did you all know that? It's not a success. He's a failure. He failed over and over and over and over and over and over. The thing about him was he just didn't quit. He kept thinking, you know, well, if I stick with this long enough, I might win. And he did. And he did. But one thing he did was he neglected his soul. He neglected his soul. So what is it? What is it to have the whole world and lose your soul? Nothing. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? He's a smart man. He's a clever man. Because he failed so many times. By the way, that's how you get smart. You get smart by failing. The smart people out there, every single one of them, all failed. That's how they got smart. Because they learned from their failures. They didn't learn from their successes. They learned from their failures. A few of you should be pretty smart. Because you have failed over and over and over again. But Jesus came to set you free by, first of all, giving you the bad news before he gives you the good news. We preach the bad news first here. Bad news is more important than the good news. You will not even go to the doctor unless you know you're sick. You got to hear some bad news first. You're sick. Your automobile's about to blow up. Get out. Get out of that thing. Don't even turn it on. And most of you are like, well, I just need a little air in the tire. No, your whole engine is ready to blow up. No, just put some air in the tire and let me get on the road again. That is so funny. All I need is another marriage. All I need is, you know, whatever. You are wrong. You are wrong. You are wrong. Now, God has done this. Stand fast in the liberty. How many here are going to stand fast in that liberty that you have? What's your liberty for? What's your liberty for? What, to love. To love God and to love the neighbor. And you also have a political duty, by the way. Part of love the neighbor. Part of love, not the whole of it. Part of love the neighbor is legal. You have legal duties. Render unto Caesar. What's Caesar? You've got to do that. Some people say, well, I'm a Christian. Yeah, you're a Christian, but you're also Jesus. Your master told you, render to Caesar. Well, he is the Lord. Yeah, I know. But he, the Lord, told you to render to that other guy till he comes back again. Now, when he comes back again, you can render to Jesus everything. But part of your worship to God is rendering to Caesar. Part of your love for the brother is rendering unto Caesar. Well, Caesar takes too much. Too bad. So what? If you were a better people, you'd have a better Caesar. You totally control the Caesar you have. Your problems aren't out there in the world. They're in you. You're in you. You're the problem. No, they're not. I'm a victim. Jesus took that job already. If there was a victim ever, it was Jesus. And he is no victim. He rose from the dead because he's looking to the Lord as his source, his strength, his power. You see, how many know that you are the problem? I mean, I know you know it intellectually. I know you even know it spiritually. But do you know it emotionally? You are the problem. If there's a problem out there, you take care of it.
Well, I don't want to. I don't know how to. Let someone else do it. It must be a government entitlement program for me.
No. You do it. You don't need help. I was telling him, this is the problem in Africa today. Looking to some American to support Africa. Pfft. You don't need America. You need Jesus.
Oh, well, we have Jesus, but we don't got anything else.
No. If you got Jesus, you got it all. You know? No. You don't need Jesus plus. You don't need Jesus plus. You just need Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'll give you everything else. Well, we don't take that seriously. It's just a bunch of words. But I'm telling you, God, he says, no, give me your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole strength. What would happen if you did that? What if you literally gave Jesus everything and were dead to yourself, dead to your own desires, your own feelings, the kind of house you live in, the kind of food you eat, the kind of sleep you get? What if you were dead and you said, Jesus, I don't live for myself. I live for you alone. You take care of everything else. I won't even pay attention to it. You take care of everything else. Try it. Try it. Seek first the kingdom. And then he'll lead you by the Spirit. So number three is being led by the Holy Spirit. I'll draw Holy Spirit here. You know, being led by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to lead you and do it all. You don't need to have your own power and strength. How many don't have any? You don't have any. You don't have any. You don't have any. You don't have any power. You don't have any strength. Don't be looking to Uncle Sam or to some neighbor or somebody to love you and care for you and help you out and so on, your parents. Don't look to anybody. If you're 18, you're on your own. Are you 18 yet, Noel? You're all right. Just look to mom for everything. But as soon as you become 18, you're on your own. There's no more gripe about the parents and, you know, try to get something and so on. When you're a child, it's all right. But you're not children. You are now responsible. You can't blame somebody else for everything. It's too bad. It's too late. You're not in the Garden of Eden. You're out in a real world, rotten, no good. People are devils like you. They're not worse than you. They're not worse than you. They're not better than you. They're equal to you. They are devious like you are. They're clever. They know how to get their own thing, you know. But you know what? They're also miserable because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You better. There's only one trick in life. There's only one thing to do. Repent. And believe. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Because you're no good. You're no good. I wish more churches would teach this. They don't disagree with it. Nobody disagrees that man's a sinner. They just kind of pass over that quickly and get you into the saved thing and try to get you to go to work. You know, if you were a Baptist, and I'm not picking on them, but if you were a Baptist, they'd get you right away to, you know, tithe. Certainly don't want to miss that one. Be an usher, be a Sunday school teacher. You know, now that you're born again, you know, get baptized, now be an usher, now be a Sunday school teacher, and witness on Thursday nights. Okay, there you are. Go to heaven. No, that's not Christianity. Christianity is dying after you become a Christian, now it's time to die to all that stuff that's in you. So the whole purpose of number two is to get you to do, not to think about, not to talk about, but to do the will of God. To do. So the doing is the problem in the church today. It's just talk. Talk. Now, aren't you glad you came? Because you got to hear what the problem is. The problem is you're no good, number one. You believed on Jesus, number two, so he could kill you, number three. You thought he came to give you life. Yes, he did. But the way he gives you life is to make sure there's no life in you. He didn't just die for you. He wants you to die now so that he can live. So just trust him. If you trust him, make him your Lord. After all, he created you, number one. Then he redeemed you, number two. And now he wants to lord you, number three. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus, example, Savior, Lord. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Everything is always 1, 2, 3 in life. Everything. You can give me any topic. I don't care if it's politics, economics, whatever it is. It's always 1, 2, 3. You in the natural, evil. You then redeemed, you then filled with the Spirit. Most of the people in the world are just in the natural. That's where they live and die. So there's no hope in the world until that changes. That's why God is right now sweeping the earth. I don't care where you go in the world, you will see the kingdom of God growing and flourishing. But they're not coming in to get away from bad people. They're coming in to die. Because the problem is always c'est moi. It's always me. It's always me. It's always me. I'm always the problem. C'est un grand problème. Big. It's a big problem. It's me. So God is not worried about building the kingdom. He knows how to build the kingdom. He could use angels. He doesn't even need you and I. The only reason he's including us is because he's crazy. God is crazy. Why would he pick people? I would pick crickets or something else that won't go their own way. But he wants you, the free people, to be free. You are not a slave. Never be a slave. For Christ has set you free, number two, from number one. Free from yourself. Free from the devil. Free from the world. Free from everything. You are now a free man. And if you know this, get it in your heart, then get it into your mind. Get it into your soul. Then you'll get it into your life. You're free. Oh, I tell you, if you only knew. Free to do what? Free to love. Free to walk in love. Free to build the kingdom. Free to start heaven today. Would you like to do that? How many would like to do heaven today? Start a little bit. Little Head Start program down here. We could actually have Dennis love his neighbor right here. You can do it. You can actually walk up to him instead of saying, hey, how you doing? Ah, fine, how you doing? That doesn't build up. But you could actually have Dennis say, hey, what a blessing to see you. Boy, when I walked in, I was filled with joy just to see you. That builds people up. How many know that builds people up? That's a good way to build people up. But instead, we always say, hey, you know, how you doing? Ah, well, I got some problems, you know. And then we just say, ah, you think that's bad. I got some problems. No. The response is, hey, let me pray for you right now. That problem should, you're a free man in Christ. Let's get rid of that right now. I've never faced a problem that's any big. There are no such things. There's only opportunities for miracles. Somebody's sick, pray for them. Get them well. They're poor, pray for their finances. It doesn't matter what it is. But what our real need is not sick and poor. Our real need is to know Jesus. That's what we need to pray to people. You know, they might come with a broken arm or whatever. They wouldn't come without it. They're not going to come for some spiritual reason. People always come to God for the wrong reasons. But that's all right. At least they come. So then you correct them and you start praying, God, save this man. No, I'm already saved, Pastor. Yeah, sure, I know. Save this person. I mean all the way, you know. Because that's what people need, is you need a spiritual close walk with God. You don't even know who you are. You don't even know who Christ is. He has come to live in you and change this world. You're not going to change this world without him. Amen. Muslims can't change this world. Buddhists can't change this world. You look in any Muslim country, you look in any Buddhist, Hindu, witchcraft, Satanist country, you will not find life. You will not find life. You won't find life. You will find death. So God brought you so that there would be life and have it abundantly. All right, now let me close with this. Stand fast, therefore, Galatians 5:1, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. So you are free. Say it, I'm free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Don't fall back into slavery. Most of the world today is still in slavery. Most of the churches are still in slavery. In slavery to sin, to selfishness, to nastiness, etc. No, don't fall back into slavery. Be free. I want to be free all the way, not just bodily, politically, outwardly. I want to be economically free. I want to be every way free, mentally, emotionally. Most of you are not emotionally free. I'm going to say that again. Most of you are run by your emotions. Your emotions run you. Your thoughts are wild. You just think all kinds of thoughts, and you think that your thoughts are worth something. You don't know how to think. You have to take every thought captive to the Word of God. You know, I can't look at my wife and then think something. I got to ask God, how do you look at her? She's a blessing. Is that how you see it? Did you just see what she just said and did? Don't you think I should poke her? No? No, I want you to just go and give her a big kiss on the mouth and hug her and tell her you love her. Phew. God, I think she needs to be punished for a while first. She just said something wrong, and she just did something wrong. And God says, I don't care what you think. You do it the way I say. You look at it the way I look at it. Okay. Hi, Peg. I love you. She can see right through me. See? She can tell you're just legalistic. Do you say that because Jesus made you? You know, she said, you really are mad at me, aren't you, because of what I just did? Yeah. So you've got to take every thought captive because you don't know how to think about your brother, about your sister, about your enemy. You don't know how to think about anything. You don't know how to think. Amen? All right, I'm going to close here. Don't be a slave. Be free. That's what God wants you to know. You are free. Don't get free. You're free. Don't get free. You're free because Christ has set you free. Let's have a testimony. Who today said, you know what? I was in bondage emotionally. I was in bondage mentally. I was confused. I was living in confusion. I'm not now. I'm free. Who's free? Who got free today? I was worried about money. I'm not worried now. I was worried about my salvation. I'm not. I was worried I was going to go insane. You already are. Don't worry about it. You're not going insane. You are insane. You are free. In Christ Jesus, He set you free. Just stay there. Stand fast. Don't move. Who has a testimony? Okay, who's the second one? All right, and now for our last and final one. Yes?
I just got back from Italy last Sunday, and when I got home, my children, Amy and Craig and Scott and Kate, had moved me to my new apartment as a surprise. and it was great. I was dreading the move, and they did it for me. 95%. There's still some stuff up at the old place, and I called both of them yesterday, and Amy and Scott, and said, I feel abandoned. Nobody, you know, the stuff is up there, and I've got to deal with it. And they both of them said to me, stop it. We're going to finish. It's okay. And so I was emotionally, you know, trying to make them do something or feel guilty or not abandon me. And
man, powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful. Who else? Who else was blessed today? Yes.
I was just saying, I really was, as you were preaching, I kept meditating on that word where it says that Christ has made us free. You know, and versus even set us free. Because made us free is like identity.
Yes.
It's spirit.
Yes.
Who we are.
She's got it.
In our spirit man, you know.
That's exactly.
It's not something we can lose.
Right. She's absolutely correct. It isn't set you free. It's really made you free. Because you had to be remade. You had to be born again. Renewed. It's a new creation. It's not you're not in number one anymore. You're at number two now. So that you can bear fruit. The only reason you're a two is not to go to heaven. The only reason you're a two is to bear fruit now. The only reason you're a two is not to go somewhere. It's to be something. Made us free. It's good. Who else? Who else? Yes.
I always fail because they're always better than me, and it's really frustrating. And they tell me not being as good as the people that you're around. And it's really frustrating. And because I work really hard and I fail all the time. And it's annoying because as hard as I work and as much as I try, it never, ever, 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 ever measures up. And when you said that today, it was like, you know, and I try to be that way. I try to always learn from every time I fail. I'm like, okay, next time I'm not going to do it. Next time I'll do it this way. And that really gave me encouragement because I'm always failing. And it's really hard.
Amen. So, though it may look like you're failing, you can never fail because you're the son, you're the daughter of the living God. He's put you there. He's training you right now, but you will learn everything you need to know, and you will succeed because you're already a success in the eyes of God. Not in the eyes of your fellow man and yourself, but in the eyes of God. So change your thinking. No, I'm still learning by mistakes. It's good to make mistakes. That's how I'm going to learn. I don't need to be frustrated. I need to be excited. Celebrate the fact that I failed again so I can learn more. Every time you fail, you learn. Joseph went into a pit, then into a prison. That's how he learned to rule the world. When you go into bondage, you actually learn how to rule in freedom. Only those that are bonded know what freedom is. They can taste it. But those that are born in a free country like this, you have no understanding. So it's easy for you to fall back into slavery, to booze, and to sex, and to whatever else. No, because you know nothing. You don't know what it is that you have a Bible you could read, that you could go to church freely, that you could serve the Lord, that you could love your neighbor. I'll tell you, that's the greatest thing. But the people today in the third world who have nothing, they're the ones that are grabbing it and taking it, and they're going to surpass us. Why? Because we've become fat, lazy. We are now dull. But God still loves us. God still loves us. But you need to grow up. Don't wait for someone else to give this to you. Take it. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Who else? And now go. There's one more. Yes.
You said something about, you asked, you know, who was critical of others. And I am very critical of everyone. And
everybody's nodding in that whole row.
Only after today that's a problem.
That's powerful.
I never really thought of it. I thought, you know, well, I'm helping the people around me.
Yes, the losers around me.
Yeah. And I wouldn't expect anything from someone else that I wouldn't do for myself, but there's no growth in that.
Right.
And what I'm kind of seeing now is sort of, you know, you got gold and brass. So
it's powerful. That's powerful. That's a blessing. You know what? When you have a God, you don't need anything more. Amen. Just get to God as quick as you can. God, do it all, think it all, say it all, you know, work it all. And then you just enter in. You're like a child. You cannot enter the kingdom of God like you come as a child. Just quit. Start laughing. Start laughing at all your problems. Whenever you got a problem, laugh at it. That's nothing. My God will take care of that. My God loves me. I can even mess up myself. It doesn't hurt a thing. My God is bigger. He's greater. There's no problem too big. Whatever it is, He will have His kingdom built. And He's going to use you. He's not going to use an angel. He's going to use you. So the best is yet to come. He saved the best to the last. You haven't seen yet. Africa is going to take a major role in the world. The whole third world, but particularly Africa. It's going to become a great place. I'm telling you, it was the dark ages thing, the dark continent. It's not. It's the continent of light. Why? Because they know what bondage is. They know what corruption is. They know what you know, being ruled over is. Now they will learn how to rule. And America, which ought to be at the forefront, we are falling down because our problems have got too big for us because we forgot God. Get back to God, you can solve any problem. There are no political problems. There are no economic problems. There are no problems. There's only opportunities for a miracle. So that the wise among you may be known. This is your day. If I drop dead today, you still catch a hold of this word. You don't need Pastor Jim. You don't need anybody. You've got everything when you have Jesus. Amen? This is the best day of your life. This is the best day of your life. You don't know about yesterday and you don't know about tomorrow. This is today. Today is the day of salvation. Feel good, strong. Christ has set you free. You are free indeed. Free to do what? Free to love. Not free to sin. You can sin, yes. Well, no, you'll be forgiven. That's not the issue. The issue is free to love. This is your destiny. This is your purpose. Can you sin? Of course. Not can you. You will. It doesn't matter. It's not why you were born again. You were born again to get free from sin so that you could follow the kingdom of God, because everything else is going to perish. It's not that you can't do it. You can sin all you want, but it isn't going to help, because there's no life in life. There's only life in Christ Jesus. Trust him. That's all he's saying to you is, trust me. I created you. Did you help me? No. I redeemed you. Did you help me? No. Now I want to lord you. Are you trying to help me and take over? It's foolish. The same guy that created you and redeemed you ought to be able to lord you. Give him your life. Well, I don't trust you. Yeah, I know you don't, but do. Because he's the only one you can trust. You can't trust yourself. You can't trust others. Don't trust any other God. He is the living God. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this day. This is the day you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you, Lord God, for the word that sets us free. Free. Free to do the will of God. Free to build the kingdom of God. Wasn't our idea, but it is your idea. And your idea will win. Our idea will not. I thank you, Lord God, that you have come to give us life and have it more abundantly. More abundantly. Not just to be alive, to be alive, but also to walk alive. You are born of the Spirit. Now walk in the Spirit. It's one thing to be born again. It's another thing to walk like someone filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit in all that we do. Let us no longer do our own thing. Let us be filled with the Spirit. Then we'll be joyful. Let us die so that we may live. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, I know this is a tough message. Make it clear. If I said it wrong, say it right to them. Don't let anyone leave here without joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let no one leave here disturbed or distressed. If there is someone here that has any worry on them or stress or maybe physical pain, remove it right now in the name of Jesus. If there's anyone here who's financially challenged, who just feels, boy, if I just had some dollars, I could get something accomplished. Correct them, Lord God. They have all the finances they need because they have your bank. They have your account. You can supply all of our needs according to your riches in glory. Lord God, let us not be living under lies, but let us know that the kingdom has come and we are a free people. If Christ has set us free, we shall be free indeed. Indeed. Actually, truly. Not just in word. And now may the Lord God, the Father in heaven, bless you. And may the Lord God keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you personally, you all but you personally, and give you his peace, his shalom. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you with a smile on his face. Ah, that's one of my free ones. That's one of mine that's not under the law. That person's under grace. And we ask this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And amen. I love y'all. God is good.
I have one announcement. I've been asked to remind you that in order to vote on November the 7th, you have to be registered. And you have to be registered 30 days before the election, so that only gives you about 6 days to get that done if you're not registered. If we don't vote, we don't have a complaint. We don't have a reason to be dissatisfied, because we've, in essence, by not voting, we voted. And we're saying, whatever happens is cool with me. So if you have a computer, you can get access to the registration online, or you go to do that, Peggy? To how do you get the forms? Library, maybe? Okay. Courthouse and places like that. They're available. Just
find them. I have a question. Do you just register one time? Like if you've registered before, you don't need to register again? Okay. Okay.
Can someone get one half of the lights over there, please? You know, the best thing we can do is just what Jim said, and that is take a vacation from the things that are precious. Not all the lights. Take a vacation from whatever's bugging us and just get to the Lord, you know? Because in His light, we see light. In His presence, there's joy. Not all that. The other side. Thank you. There you go. Perfect. And so the best thing we can do is just get into His presence, and that's what I want.